Hey, what's up? This is Trevor Phipps from Unearth, and you're listening to the Combine Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, all you metal listeners out there? This is
Into the Combine!
What's going on, everybody? I'm Shoddy.
Jason.
Stan the Man.
And this is another episode of Into the Combine. We have an interview, kind of a little solo cast, interview cast for you,
Jason. Special interview with Lucas Maigar, I think is how you say the last name, of Vale of Maya.
I hope you got that right.
Talk to him about just, you know, joining Vale, coming out of nowhere, coming into a band of that stature. The challenges and just a lot of random stuff. Them getting on Warped Tour this year, you know, and just how things have been going and what's next and all that. So, real cool dude, and check it out. We'll jump right into it. So you've been in Vale of Maya now since, I believe it's 2014, correct?
Correct.
So before that, you had a couple side projects going, or at least one band I know of. So just walk me through just briefly kind of what you were doing before Vale musically.
Okay. Well, we were pretty much just getting out of the studio with a record that we were putting together. And it had just been released a couple months before things had happened. And the release was pretty much like just to the local scene around the area, and we hadn't even played shows yet. Honestly, the record was really put together to like help with the member search, to have something to show people, like to really get them interested, and instead of just telling them, hey, I'm a vocalist and I'm looking for a band. So that was pretty much what I was up to, is just trying to piece the band together the best I could. And it's been doing a little bit better, trying to get things rolling now. We still haven't played a show, but we're really just working on getting the right guys and getting ahead in production and writing. That way, you know, we don't fall behind later on.
Right. How would you explain, you know, how would you compare that band to Vale?
I mean, it's definitely in the progressive and heavy realm, but there's a lot of singing. It's definitely a different style of singing than what we do in Vale. And it's got a very, very soft side to it. You know, we'd spend a lot of time writing in clean guitar and things like that and trying to set the right groove. We're not just trying to be heavy. You know, we want to be, you know, if we go out on a bill, we want to be one of the heaviest and one of the lightest bands and have that good middle ground too.
So then what made you want to try out for Vail, you know, since you had this stuff going on? What was it that kind of attracted you to Vail?
Oh, I've been pursuing this for a while, and my area is just like, it's rough when it comes to finding other guys who really want to pursue a career in music. So it was just a great opportunity to really help, you know, help out a band that I've heard of and enjoyed watching live, and also, you know, help out myself and get my name out there. So I just figured it would work out real well for both parties, and thus far it has.
So since you've been in the band now for a little bit of time, does it feel like you're getting more comfortable, feeling like you're fully a part of the band, or is it still something that you're kind of, you know, getting into?
Now everything's pretty comfortable now. I mean, I'm pretty close with the guys, and even the guys we've been touring with, their close friends have really reached out to me and made me feel like I've been, you know, they've known me for years, and it's been great because these guys really have known them for years, and here I am stepping in all of a sudden, and for them to just embrace me the way they did, has been great. And I think that just really kind of helped set me in place and really, you know, feel comfortable throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, I was going to ask about, you know, kind of, you know, when you joined and you were kind of trying out, and I know you talked before about how you submitted your, you know, the song they asked for, and then, but I kind of was curious, so once you finally went down to meet up with the guys and try things out, and, you know, how important was it, I'm sure, you know, technical ability, but then also, were they trying to feel you out to see if you'd be fitting in with the band? Like, how important was that to the band, and for you, you know, that you'd get along?
It was definitely, like, a bit of a process, because we did that first run and tracked like the first song together at the end of 2014, but nothing was announced till 2015 because it was, you know, that feeling out period. They were kind of trying to make sure that this was something that I really wanted to do, because there's a lot of guys out there who are like, dude, I'm going to pursue music, I'm going to tour. And then they get into it and they're like, whoa, this is not exactly what I thought it was going to be like. So I think they really wanted to make sure that it was something I wanted to do. And as you know, I could have, who's to say that I wasn't just some jerk off who had auto-tuned all over the track and wasn't even that talented, could pull it off live. I mean, we literally knew nothing about each other personally, and we really had to take our time trying to like get into our groove and find out who each person is. But I think we've done, you know, I think we've come a long way in this year, and there's still a lot to learn about each person in the band, but it's been great.
You know, I was kind of curious too, you know, just because Vail of My, they're pretty established, you know, when you joined in. Did you have any, I guess, concerns or second thoughts just as far as, you know, all of a sudden you're thrust into this kind of spotlight, you know, people are critiquing you with today's, you know, all the controversies you see with things on social media, people picking people apart, that kind of stuff. You know, did you have any concerns with that? And like, did they have to, you know, kind of talk to you like, hey, man, watch what you're saying on Twitter and just, you know, that kind of stuff?
Through the audition process, I didn't say a word. So we all, you know, I think the guys knew that I handled myself in a way that wasn't going to get me in trouble on social media and things like that. So it wasn't a talk that we necessarily had. But I mean, we definitely do and have gone over things. And, you know, the band wants to come off a certain way. And I totally respect that. And I myself want to come off a certain way to people and don't want to come off a certain way to people. So, you know, we have the discussions if they come up, and it goes both ways. You know, we're all part of this band, and if someone's doing something that we don't necessarily agree with, we, as a band, we got to let them know. But, I mean, that's just friendships, man. You know, you got to deal with that, and good friends are going to be there to tell you when you're doing something wrong.
Right, right. So, you know, when you went and did your first show, I believe that was at Knotfest, which was probably a pretty huge attendance-wise, right?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Like, how was that, man? Just walk me through, like, how was that day, you know? I mean, because I imagine you probably played some shows with your old band, but I mean, I can't imagine going from, you know, the size of shows you probably played to all of a sudden a festival crowd, you know?
Yeah, we played two routing shows on the way. So it was a good feeling out process just for those two shows. Okay. But I had never like toured. I had never played consecutive shows. So I was kind of a little bit worried about how my voice was going to hold up. So I guess on the day we got to Knotfest, we got there pretty early, and I got up and just started walking around the grounds and checking it out, and just kind of started my vocal warm ups and feel things out and see how I felt for the day. And it went pretty smooth. I was just kind of hanging out by myself for most of the time because I was still memorizing lyrics and patterns, and I had to do that the two shows before too.
Wow.
So I was like, I would spend a lot of time just by myself with headphones in, kind of listening to things. So I was pretty quiet, and I was definitely a bit introverted. And it was funny because a couple tours after, like, the band really got to see who I was, you know, because at first I was like this quiet guy who always had his headphones in, who was always just walking around by himself trying to learn parts. And now all of a sudden, you know, a couple months after, I'm cracking jokes and, you know, just being myself. And they finally got to see who I really was for the first time after the NotFest run.
So, I mean, did you have to kind of develop your, you know, your stage presence and just those live qualities before you did that? Or was that something you were already comfortable with?
I was comfortable on stage, but going over, you know, every little movement, maybe not every little movement, but a lot of them, and really being nitpicky about all the things that you say to the crowd. And like I said, most of your movements and when you're going to coordinate this in a song, when you're going to coordinate this in a song. It's all stuff that you gotta learn. I mean, if I joined another band right now with a new set, it would almost be like that all over again, because it's like, well, now I gotta learn these parts, and when am I gonna tell the crowd to do this? When am I gonna do this? So, I mean, yeah, but I think that just kind of comes with any new position. You know, there's always gonna be that ground to catch up on, especially with a band that's been touring and playing for 10 years.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I just thought of this too. I don't know if you saw online, just like the past couple of days. I don't even know if you know about the band. They're called the Story So Far, a pop punk band.
Yeah, I know them.
And I just saw on there that there's been this big thing like today that he had kind of kicked a girl off. You know, actually like kicked her because she was on her phone taking like a selfie or something like that. You know, and she went flying into the crowd. You know, I mean, I guess what do you think of things like that? You know, as far as, I guess, how do you think about how you should handle people on stage and just in that live setting like that?
It's one of those rock and a hard place situations. I've been scolded for some of the decisions I've made too, and it's like, that's a quick thinking decision. And I wasn't there, so I don't know if he really kicked the person. I mean, right. I wouldn't kick him, but someone could have just thrown that word in there to make him sound like an asshole. I don't know what happened, but I mean, I've definitely like, I've never done a violent show, but I've like let someone know, dude, you know, got to get off the stage. If, you know, if the security is not doing their job, I still have a job to do, and this guy can't be in my way. But I mean, you never have to use like excessive force, and I'm sure he probably didn't.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's hard to tell in there. It really didn't look like he meant to, you know. It's just one of those things where he's definitely getting a lot of shit all of a sudden. And, you know, I just think like nowadays to be in a band, you have so many risks, man. Like, one little thing like that you could do, and all of a sudden your band might be, you know, like on the chopping block because of something like that.
Yeah, you got to think on your toes, you know, because some of the things that you think and believe in aren't necessarily what other people think and believe in, obviously. And it's okay, but like some people will really take it to a whole new level if you say something just out of place. I mean, careers have definitely fallen apart, and you just got to be careful, you know. It's got to watch what you say, watch what you put out there, and who you say it to. And
right.
There's always a camera around now. And I mean, you should just carry yourself in a professional manner anyway. And if you do that, chances are the little bit of trouble you're going to get into is never going to be, you know, detrimental to your career or anything.
Right on, for sure. Yeah, you know, so you guys just came off your the Sumerian tour. You guys, After the Burial, Born of Osiris. How was that? That seemed like that would be a huge tour.
Yeah, the tour was very successful. We were stoked to be on it. The support bands were stoked to be on it, and it was great. It was one of those things where, you know, the guys have all been touring together and have known each other for a while, and there I was, and you know, it was like I was with them, you know, all these years. It was a great time. We partied together and didn't get too crazy, you know, partied within reason, but we definitely had a lot of fun on that tour. It was on the fun charts, probably the most fun I've had on tour so far.
Really?
I think so. It was a great time. It's right up there with the Periphery tour that we did at the end of last year in Europe. Those two tours were just such a blast. And it was great because they were pretty much, you know, there was some time in between, but they were back-to-back tours.
The Sumerian record label, and is it kind of like a family atmosphere with all these bands? Because it seems like a lot of young bands and, you know, it just seems like a tight-knit label. Is it like that?
And it really is, because this label, like from the history I've gathered from what people have told me, it came up from like that, you know, tight group of friends, or at least they knew each other a lot better than you know, the beginning of most labels, bands and label executives and things like that. So it came up that way. And I think they do a good job of trying to keep those bands close and keep those relationships open with other bands too. I truly believe they do that. I mean, I can talk to pretty much anyone, no problem. And I can get a response. And it's cool because when are you usually talking to the head of the company that you're associated with? You know, that just doesn't always happen. So for those guys to be accessible like that is pretty great.
So going back to, you know, Matriarch and joining and recording that album, obviously the big thing was the addition of Cleans and everything. And I know you've talked a little bit about that before, but, you know, I guess how did you guys, you know, figure out where you were going to throw those Cleans in, just for the fact that this had never been done before for the band? How much of a role did you have on that versus what was already written, and how did the creative process go for that?
Well, we just kind of got in the studio and pre-proed for a week, and I mean, it just went pretty smoothly. If we just felt the part was calling for singing, we didn't think twice about it. We're like, this part, you know, this part's going to have singing on it. To be completely honest, there were some parts, because I like to put some heavy vocals over melodic parts, you know, so it's really fun for me to do. Mm. And there were some parts that we tried to do that, but we were like, this part just really does call for singing, you know. So we tried to cater to the you know, old fan base as much as we could, but this record just really called for it, and we couldn't help ourselves.
Yeah. Was it being written that way prior to you joining, or is that just like kind of the way it went once they realized the talent you had?
They were looking to have like some featured parts for singing, but you know, that's about as far as it was going to go. So the mentality of how the record was going to be written vocally definitely changed. And not only that, but I mean, I was able to contribute, you know, I mean, I wrote all the lyrics, and you know, a line was put in here and there that was good. So we used it. And our producer and I, like, we were thorough with the vocal rhythms, and you know, he put in a lot of great ideas. And you know, as a lot of people know, Spencer helped work on the record, and he had a lot of great ideas. So I mean, we all just worked on it together, and it turned out better than we expected, for sure.
You know, with that, you know, I know you guys, you know, it's kind of a divider album, as far as you've got a ton of new fans from it, you know, a lot of fans that state that actually really like the change, and then obviously you're going to have the people that kind of hate on it and hate that change. You know, what do you kind of say to people like that, that just dismissed it as soon as they hear those clean vocals? Like, you know, what's your opinion on that?
I mean, I don't know, that, you know, people are going to say and do what they want. Me personally, I think every genre has something great to offer, you know, and I'm not going to listen to one style of music and expect all styles of music to sound like that. And if a band changes, you know, a band changes, man. They're human beings. Their life changes. No one's going to be the same person forever. And music is a reflection itself, just like any other art form.
Right.
And so if these guys are changing, their music's going to change. And that's just the way it goes. And this band it wasn't just the people changing. I mean, the band changed. So, of course, it's going to be a different sound.
Right. You know, I just the other day, Whitechapel, you know, their vocalist, they're talking about how he was going to go ahead and try some not cleans, but I think they were saying some more melodic and actually singing on their new album. And it was the same kind of thing where all of a sudden people are kind of outraged, you know. And, you know, what do you think about, like, when bands try and do that, try and throw something different into the mix? Like, do you ever think certain bands shouldn't do that? Or is it, do you think a progression just in general is the way to go?
Progress, get better, you know, do what you haven't done and take risks. If you aren't taking risks, it's like, you know, then you're just writing to please other people. And that kind of takes the art out of it. If you're just doing it for other people, it's really just a job at that point. So if you want to do it, just go for it. You know, you can't be afraid. You got, at the end of the day, as much as you want to please your fans, and they really are everything in your career, but when it comes down to writing, I mean, you tour for the fans. You put out music videos and song after song and record after record for the fans. But at the end of the day, the style of music, you write it for you.
Totally agree with that. I mean, that's why I didn't listen to Veil of Maya a ton before this album. I had their albums, but it was kind of like it just felt like so refreshing once Matriarch came out, you know, and it made me, you know, really interested in the band again. And, you know, do you guys think you're going to continue down this path for the next album? Are you going to push it further, or do you like the sound of Matriarch and you're going to stick with that?
We have some ideas that, you know, the band still hasn't done on the last record that we definitely want to pull up. But we like the contrast we have with the heavy and the light stuff. And it's not like we're trying to get rid of that brutal veil that people love, because we love it too. You know, we want that in there, but we just want to be versatile and we want to like thoroughly enjoy what we're doing. And when we listen back into the studio, we just want to love every part, every drum fill, every guitar part, every bass lick, every vocal part. We want to just love all of it.
So do you think you're going to be even more, you know, involved with the writing this time around? Because I know, like you said, a lot of it was kind of written, you know. Are you going to jump into the creative process even more this time around?
Yeah, because last time I was pretty much involved for only 2 weeks, you know, and now it's through the whole process. So even if I'm not like, even if I'm only doing my part as far as a vocalist, I'll feel better about writing this record and matching what the real emotion of the music is setting, you know, because I don't necessarily know if I did on the Matriarch record, because I personally didn't have time to assess the songs enough to be like, this is really how I feel about this song.
Right. You know, I was going to ask too, with you using the clean and the aggressive, harsher vocals, what do you have to do as far as, you know, voice maintenance goes? I mean, it seems like that could get pretty harsh on the vocals if you're doing that every day on tour.
You know, if you don't party like crazy and you really like, you really take care of your voice, you can last a long time in the industry. Vocalists have proven that. And metal vocals, you know, the screaming technique is actually not all that rough on your vocal cords if you're doing them correctly. And that's really the major thing. Do them correctly and work on your technique, and you'll last a while, and don't party like crazy.
Mm-hmm. I know you ran into some trouble, I think I saw on social media just on this last tour here.
Yep.
Do you know kind of why that happened or what was going on with that?
I had bronchitis. A few people on tour, actually, almost in every band, wasn't necessarily the same thing, but were real ill. And I woke up, I had been performing for a week or so, not feeling well at all, but the show had to go on. And one day I woke up and couldn't talk, you know, and I kind of looked to Sam, our drummer, and I said with little voice I had, like, dude, it was fun while it lasted, but I said, all I can do at this point is go up there and be a hype man.
Yeah.
You know, and I would have done it. I was all for it. But as a band, we decided we didn't need that. You know, everyone in this band has a name and a face, and the bassists love Dan, the guitarists love Mark, the drummers love Sam, you know, and they all got to be frontmen for the end of that tour. And honestly, it went real well, and I got to enjoy sitting on side stage and listening to the crowd sing along, and that was awesome. I mean, it went as well as it could have.
Right, right. That would be tough to have to sit that out, I'm sure, though.
It sucked. It was an emotional experience for me. I wasn't thrilled. I was definitely very upset, but it was the best call. It was what was best for the band and for me. I could have really done some damage had I continued those last four shows. And you know, we went up there, gave a brief explanation, told everyone what was going on. They could tell I couldn't talk, you know, but they had our back and they all had a great time and they were singing as loud as they could and we enjoyed it.
You know, what were some of the vocalists that kind of got you into singing in the first place?
One of the first bands I've probably ever heard is Metallica. And so that's kind of where like the metal really caught me. And I've always liked James Hetfield's style. So he didn't have, I mean, obviously I don't sound like him, but I've always liked that raw metal tone that he had. But then I started listening to like Seosin, you know, and Silverstein, Senses Fail, The Used, Fall Out Boy, Panic at the Disco, Paramore, you know, bands that they were still bands. They weren't like pop artists, but they sang like pop artists, you know. They had that soul and they had that power, and they're just like real singers. And I, mm-hmm. that's what I want for my voice, is that power behind it. So, I mean, obviously you have the pop artist always has a huge influence on singers. It's like inevitable, you know, there's no way. But as far as getting out of the pop world goes, it was definitely bands like Paramore and Fall Out Boy, Panic at the Disco, and Senses Fail, and things like that.
Right, right, right. Is there anything you've been checking out that, you know, recently, like 2016, any good metal albums or anything you've been listening to?
Not too much. Honestly, I've just been bumping that new Yellow Wolf record still.
Okay, okay. Cool, man. Well, you guys just got announced, too, for Warped Tour. You know, when growing up and everything, is that something that you were going to, a Warped Tour? Are you guys looking forward to that?
We're all looking forward to it. It's going to be a blast. I had went one time a few years ago, and it was a great time. I mean, fun atmosphere, you know, and now we get to live 2 months of that. It's going to be a grind for sure, but I think we're going to enjoy it. And we got ourselves involved in some other stuff while on that tour, so we'll be keeping ourselves busy.
Cool, man. Well, you know, is there anything else you want to say to the listeners at all before we end this call?
I'm glad you took the time to speak to me. I appreciate it, and hopefully we can talk soon.
Yeah,
you guys,
man.
Hopefully we can get a new record out to everybody sometime soon.
Yeah, dude. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this as well.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Still.